And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The sound of America before it was polluted. Welcome to The Savage Nation, 855-407-282. A couple of surprises, news, views, reviews. Long weekend, went on forever. Thank God Halloween is over. The kids all have hangovers from the sugar drug that was given to them. The children probably can't even function in school today. The parents are really not much better off than they are. They're drunk from the Halloween event. I'm not knocking it. I'm not Mr., you know, Mr. Whatever. What do you call it? I'm not upset over Halloween. It's a stupid holiday. I know the children love it. My kids loved it. It's a pagan holiday. What are you worshiping? Ghosts? Why don't you go lay down in a graveyard with the immigrants from Mexico on the Day of the Dead? Just go get a bed in the graveyard near you and lay down there with a bottle of booze. What a nation. Whatever. That's all. I love my country, but I don't love everything about my country. How's that? And you know something? Nature abhors a vacuum. Right now, we have a vacuum. There's no faith in this nation, no religion. I'm not going to preach to you. Do what you want. Do what you want, okay? Eat cotton candy, drink booze, cheer for the ball team, be a good American. Eat a hot dog. Pay no attention to what's going on around you. I searched all weekend for a story about the Russian airliner that went down. Hundreds of people shot out of the sky, children dead, and virtually no reportage. I guess we hate Russians now. I guess the media is so much in the back pocket of the corrupt one in the White House that they don't even report on the air crash, by and large. There's our backstory. Now, what did shoot the plane down? ISIS, the Nazis, are saying they shot it down over the Sinai. Now the Russians said no, it wasn't. Now today a news story. External impact may have caused crash. The Israelis are saying it could have been a bomb in the plane. We don't know what it is. We'll never know what it is. All we know is this. Here's what we do know. There's one religion on earth that has a large number of individuals in it who produce nothing but hate and murder. Hate, murder, and torture and enslavement. How is it possible that the world hasn't awakened to this? Look at the Nobel Prizes. Take a look at the religions of the winners of Nobel Prizes. And even if it's no religion, it's not the religion of peace. Why is it, and may I ask you again, why is it that one religion on earth produces so many hundreds of thousands of people who live to kill, who live to hurt, who live to maim? They didn't produce an airplane. They didn't engineer an airplane. They produced death and fire and mayhem. How is it that their minds are so polluted, I ask myself every day, and the world is asleep? Like sleepwalkers, I don't have to go to Halloween to see ghosts and goblins. All I have to do is look at the White House and look at Congress. They're a bunch of sleepwalkers talking about things that are irrelevant while the world is on fire. And that moron in the White House, that disgrace of a human being, goes on Saturday Night Live and does a skit while planes are falling out of the sky, countries are on fire, and he's decimating the nation and the military. That's all I want to say in the opening. I didn't even intend to say this, but I figured I'd say it anyway. So here are the headlines I was going to talk about in the Savage Nation. Let's see. Vatican arrest two on suspicion of leaking documents. Now, that's an interesting question. It sounds like The Godfather. What is the Vatican trying to hide by keeping so many secrets from the people? Well, another open religion. Yeah, Religion Incorporated. Another wonderful religion run by a benign pope. A political pope at that. Now, here's an even better story. Bill Gates, multi-billionaire, says that capitalism cannot save us from climate change. He says we need socialism. Why is it the world's most greedy, the greediest people on the planet, insist on imposing socialism on the rest of the world? Why? Huh? Here's another headline. Pope heading to Mexico to address violence and immigration. 8-day visit. The peripatetic pope. Look it up. It's an actual word. I learned it in high school. The peripatetic pope. Another one who can't sit still. Another meddler that has to travel around the world to bust down borders. Why is the pope trying to erase borders all over the world? What is behind the pope's continued meddling in immigration issues on America's border? Why is he stimulating and steaming up the people to come crashing into our home? There are other stories. New Obama executive order will ban government from asking criminal history on job applications. That's good. flood America with illegal aliens, and then flood businesses with criminals. That makes good sense. Conflict of interest. Bill Clinton is on the board of the Commission on Presidential Debates. It doesn't get any better. And over the weekend, I received a review from ChristianMoney.com, and the headline read, "Will Blockbuster Government Zero See Michael Savage Banned from the Vatican?" It kind of caught me by surprise. I thought it was another repeat of 2009 when I woke up on the Drudge Report. I read, "Talker Michael Savage banned and banned from Britain." So I said, "What do you mean I'm banned from the Vatican? I didn't even apply to go to the Vatican. I never intended to go to the Vatican. I'd be afraid to go to the Vatican. It looks like catacombs to me." I did actually go to the Vatican once. Well, now that I think about it, it's a great review by James L. Parrish. I linked it up on michaelsavage.com, and I put it on my Facebook site. And he talks about the Vatican. And he said, "I won't be able to go there." And he's a religious guy. Well, the fact of the matter is, I did go there. Way back in 1964, I did my big trip to Europe with my 20-year-old friends, mainly to look for girls in Europe who we thought were, let us say, a little freer than American girls. I mean, that's all we went. We didn't go for the culture. I mean, let's be real. I remember being 20. We went there for the culture, the museum. Well, we went to the museums, but mainly we went to the museums to look for smarter girls. That's all. But it was all about girls. That's all it was when you're 20. So we go, 22. So we go to the Vatican, and I thought it was this holy pilgrimage I was going to do. And I go to the Vatican. I put on a fresh outfit, suit, tie, and I start climbing the stairs inside the Vatican. And I get to the roof, panting and wheezing, and there's a Coca-Cola stand on the roof of the Vatican. And I remember noting it in my journal, like, what? How could they permit a Coca-Cola stand on the roof of the Vatican? Well, okay, it's a business. Like everything else on earth, it's a business. Follow the money. I mean, they got to make a buck to keep all those people in uniforms and keep the people well-fed and drinking good wine. So that was the end of that. I mean, that punctured the balloon. But I really don't want to go to the Vatican. I have no application to attend the Vatican for whatever reason. I don't know why the man would say that I'll be banned from the Vatican like I'm banned from Britain. That opens the show. The phone number is 855-407-282. I have a nice interview to play for you later with Laura Ingraham, who's the smartest person in talk radio. Laura is so brilliant and such a pleasure to talk with. Sometimes I think she and I ought to do a joint show like the George Burns and Gracie Allen kind of thing, because we have good chemistry. I haven't talked to her in a year. And it was a good interview where I wouldn't play it. I'll play some pieces from that. She has a wonderful voice. What I like about her is how smart she is. And you can hear her intelligence in her voice. I was once with her in a Japanese restaurant here in the Bay Area where I live, and there were a group of guys. I don't know who they were, spies. I don't know what they were, like Homeland. Two guys, like burly guys in suits in a cheap Japanese restaurant, were looking at us and speaking in Russian. So I said, "Do you know those guys?" And she said, "No." I said, "Well, can you listen in?" And then she started to speak to them in Russian, and then I thought maybe she's a CIA agent, because I had no idea what they were talking about. I don't know whether it was about maca sushi or wasabi or ginger. I have no idea. It's the Savage Nation. Did anyone buy my book over the weekend? Am I allowed to ask? Raise your hand if you went to the bookstore and bought Government Zero, because a lot of people are buying it, and I don't know where. And here's what's going to happen. You know, we in radio have to promote our own books, especially me, because I'm banned on all shows, except, you know, one or two shows. I'll be on Alex Jones tomorrow. He's one of the few. Laura Ingraham, one of the few. Newsmax, one of the few. But by and large, I'm banned in the media. You know that. I'm blacklisted officially. We know that that's true because the very, very fair-minded people at Fox News have banned me for a number of reasons. I'm not going to complain about it, whatever. You know, there are books that take off on their own volition after a while, and they start to sell like crazy. I don't know how that happens. How is it possible that a book that is good, and mine is really good, eventually reaches a critical mass where people talk about it with their friends and it starts to sell itself? That is what I want to see happen, because I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'll read some good pieces from it. If you bought it and you found a good sentence that you want to read on the air, go ahead, make my day. But really, I don't want to talk about this every day. Here's another headline. In Sweden, Sweden, you hear this? What is Sweden anymore? Sweden's nothing. Sex change for children. Sweden has disappeared because they've given up their culture, their language, and their borders. Did you know that? And there is no right wing in Sweden. Their own government turned on their own conservatives who could have saved Sweden, the same way the German government has turned on the patriots and the nationalists in Germany who are not Nazis, who could save Germany from the onslaught of Syrians that Merkel the Nazi is bringing into our country. That's right. Why do I use the word Merkel the Nazi? What is a Nazi? National Socialist. You tell me what Merkel is if not a Nazi. Who gives her the authority to destroy Germany's borders, language, and culture when the majority of Germans don't want it to happen? And I mean even liberal Germans don't want all those Muslim men brought into Germany. Why is she doing it? Because she is a Nazi, a National Socialist. I didn't say that she's going to put people into ovens, did I? But I did say something rather controversial, and I think the inversion is quite obvious to anyone who studies this and can think clearly. But I would tell you this. We know that Hitler was an all-around monster. Given. Okay? Given. He imposed his Germanic Nazi views upon surrounding nations by invading them, right? So what do you call a so-called leader, like Merkel, for that matter, Obama, who invades his own country with foreigners who do not speak the language, do not respect the borders, and do not respect the culture? Is that not an inversion of Hitlerism? Tell me. I said it. I believe it. I believe every word I said makes sense. Okay, fascist Nazi invades other country to oppose their will on others. Tell me what you would call a leader who invades his own nation against the will of the people. Tell me what that is. Now let's go back to the other story I raised today, which is shocking. How is it that a guy like Bill Gates, who has all that money, calls for socialism? The same way that Mark Zuckerberg, for whom there is not enough money in the world, wants to break America's borders over his little stinking, smelly knee. Why is that? Because greed is an illness. You know, when the Aztecs were overrun by Spanish conquistadors, they were overrun for one reason. They were overrun for gold. The Spanish, the Portuguese, in their heyday, were monsters. They did things to the natives in those countries that are beyond your imagination, and I've studied this in great detail. But what were the Spanish doing in South America and Central America, especially Central America? They were searching for gold. And after raping and pillaging and murdering their way through Central America and stealing all the gold they could, from the Aztecs noted in their lore that the Europeans, meaning the Spanish, have a disease called gold fever, and they said it's a disease for which there is no cure. My friends of the Savage Nation, I would argue with you today that the billionaire class, who are now flooding America with illegal aliens, have a fever equal to that of the Spanish who conquered the Central Americans. Namely, the Aztecs. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. It's been 10 years already. Turn it on. I'm tired of it. Find me some other German rec, you know, like techno music. I'm sick of the Rammstein one already. Palestinian stabs 80-year-old Jewish woman, others in latest attack. Well, it's the religion of pieces, you know. And as you well know, this is a good sign of what the Palestinians would do if Obama and Kerry were able to give them half of Israel. They wouldn't just stab the Jews. They would gas them, burn them, destroy them, throw them in the ocean. But keep supporting the PLO and the Palestinian cause. Go ahead. Palestinian stabs an 80-year-old Jewish woman. Probably survived the Holocaust, and she got stabbed in her own homeland. Great. But go. Keep going. Keep going, you leftists. One day the knife will come to you, and who will you blame? Unbelievable. An 80-year-old woman they had to stab. Palestinian stab 80-year-old woman and others in two attacks. Isn't that very brave of them? Isn't that very brave of them? 80-year-old woman in the back in a street in Rishon LeZion near Tel Aviv, and then stabbed a 70-year-old man in the chest before running down the street and carrying out another attack. 19-year-old from the West Bank city of Hebron. Well, I'll tell you the truth. There's only one solution to this, and you know the Israelis are not capable of it, given the hatred of the world for Israel and the Jews. But there's only one solution to this problem. And it's a solution that you well know will never be enacted. And so the Jews may as well pack up their little valises and get ready to leave. Because if you have one side of the population stabbing, killing, burning, with the backing of the world, and the other side is afraid to fight back, we know how this ends. At the same time, Obama gives the number one terrorist state on the globe, Iran, a pathway to nuclear weapons, and they're still chanting death to America. We know how that ends. And at the same time, the genius in the White House goes on Saturday Night Live and makes a fool of himself and a mockery of the presidency. And at the same time, the most corrupt woman in American political history is zooming up in the polls because of a little help from her friends in the media who cover up all of her scandals. And at the same time, our borders are being overrun by third worlders who will never assimilate, but they want us to accommodate. And at the same time, well, you get the picture. You get the picture. You get the picture. The big lie goes on. Shall I take some calls? You have any German music for me other than Rammstein? No, no one has it. Okay, I'll have to find out what this. I would like to hear some of it, German club music or whatever. I'd like to go to Germany before it's closed like an amusement park. You know, I may go to Germany. I've never been to Germany. I may go to Germany and get there before they close it up like Coney Island. You know, it could be a sign on Germany that says, closed, out of business. Arabic spoken here. You never know what could happen. Meanwhile, I turn on the Drudge Report this morning, covert radio pushing Beijing propaganda in USA. Turns out the Chinese have radio stations all over America. You hear this? I couldn't believe it. China Radio International, a global web of radio stations putting out communist Chinese propaganda. China-friendly news across Washington and the world. Well, it's illegal, as you well know, but under Bill Clinton's, let's say, friendships with China, and Madeleine Albright's handshakes with China, and Sandy Berger's handshakes with China, it won't be long before your kidneys will be harvested, and you'll be a member of the Falun Gong.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
I don't like this. The vibration sound I don't like. I'll take techno music, but not the vibration thing, like with the neck. There was a guy, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a funny thing, and he would give me, like, touch it to my head. I didn't know what it was. You know, you talk about negative all the time. It's not all negative. Here's a story. The teen prodigy who flies planes and works for NASA. He's 17 years old. You hear this? He has two college degrees. He's too young to vote. Well, attention, Obama. He's too young to vote. He's a pilot. He's too young to drive a car alone. He's 17 years old. He's from San Gabriel, California. Graduated from community college at age 11. 4 years later, he had a bachelor's in math from the UCLA, a real school. And now he's working for a master's in cybersecurity through Brandeis University. He helps NASA develop surveillance technology for airplanes and drones. Guy is some kid, right? Published his second book. And let's see, he plans to have his pilot's license by year's end. He has a trove of trophies from martial arts tournaments. What a kid. He's like Superboy. Now, how did he get this way? His name is Moshe Kai Kavalin. Now, Moshe is a Jewish name. But he, I don't know. I mean, Moshe's definitely it's not a Brazil. Okay, his mother's from Taiwan and his father's from Brazil. But Moshe is a Jewish name. I don't know where this came from. He says he's more ordinary than people think. But he credits his parents for pushing him, in plain English. You hear? They didn't send him out for Halloween to get candy corn. I guarantee they didn't get him a stupid costume for Halloween. He credits his parents for years of focused instruction, balanced by the freedom to pick his after-school activities. I don't know. Maybe he's just smart. But he's got all these martial arts statues in his house. Obviously, he speaks Chinese fluently. He's got all these signs in China, Chinese over him. But he was always smart. Come on. At 4 months, he pointed to a jet in the sky and said the Chinese word for airplane. Okay? That was his first word. You hear that? That was his first word. Let's see. Kavalin hit the limits of his homeschooling after studying trigonometry at age 7. You hear this? Trigonometry at age 7. And then his mother started driving him to community college. Can you believe this kid? That's amazing. 17 years old, so there's a hope. And you know, it's tied to a bigger story. And the biggest story is this. They say, liberal parents, beware of your millennials. They're very conservative. Did you know there's a trend in America of conservative children that are growing up in this country. They have turned on their parents' hippiedom. They have turned on their parents' drug, sex, and rock and roll attitudes. If this country can survive the corrupt political class, perhaps we will be saved by this generation that's growing up that loves America. And I don't know if, it's like a tooth and nail thing. We have how many months left of the regime right now? Look at what he's doing. Goes on Saturday Night Live, Obama, and makes a mockery of himself and of the presidency. And then you got Ryan on the other side. I was on Laura Ingraham's show this morning. As I said, the first question she asked was about Ryan. You know, instead of me repeating myself, I think what I'm going to do is this. Let's start the interview with Laura because it's so well done and it says what I'm about to repeat. I don't want to repeat myself. That's all. Let's hear the interview for a few seconds. Go ahead, please,
Michael
Robert.
Savage, one of the most popular writers and talk show hosts in the United States. His new book, destined to be just another massive bestseller, that's all. Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture. It is our featured selection on our wildly popular Facebook page. I want you to go there. We're going to put an excerpt up there of the book. And the cover, you see, it's a great read. It's a cautionary note, but it's phenomenal. And we love Michael. Michael, how are you? Great to talk to you.
Well, I was listening to your... First of all, good morning, and thank you for having me on your show. I forget politeness. I live in a bubble.
Okay.
I think I know you so well that I forget to remember I'm on a radio show.
Yeah, just started.
So let's just have a conversation, Laura. Right. Paul Ryan is doing what the Republicans are well known for by now, which is called the Kabuki Dance.
Mm.
He's playing the nice cop to Obama the bad cop. That's to give us a hope that he really means it. Now, you know it's a lie. The deal is done. The money has decided what's going to happen. We have no power whatsoever, which is why I call it Government Zero. But let me go into why I'm so cynical. First, I was not born a cynic. Secondly, I am an immigrant son, so this is not about immigrant bashing. This is about a lifeboat that is full. We're about to drown. If Obama is allowed to bring in millions of more, including God knows how many Syrian Muslim men of military age, there will be a civil war in this country. This is not Europe. We're armed to the teeth. People are not going to take what they're taking in Europe, where culture is being evaporated, annihilated, atomized. Can you believe what Merkel's doing to Germany? Can you believe about the Swedish lesbian reverend who was taking the crosses off the church and removing the pews?
Oh, I saw that. I saw that. Not to offend people. We don't want to offend people with a cross.
You know, Laura, I made a controversial statement last week on my radio program, but I want to run it by you because you're a genius.
Mm.
And you really are. And you see things in a way people can't see them. Tell me if I'm crazy by saying the following. Hitler invaded other countries to impose his Germanic Nazi view on other nations. We all know that. But what do you make of a leader who invades her own country with Muslims who impose their culture on her people? Is that not a reverse form of... What shall we say? Liberal fascism? What is she doing?
Yes, it's a purposeful annihilation of the European identity, whatever's left of it, the European
culture. Why would
culture,
Merkel do
whatever,
that?
What's ever left of it.
Why is Merkel dancing to that tune? Explain it.
Well, I mean, I think there are a lot of really, really rich people who believe borders are superfluous and we need to make it much easier for people and goods and services and businesses to move wherever they want because that's the free market of people and the free market of services and businesses. So
does that work in China? Well, do they have open borders?
Of course not. The countries that know that it matters to be a country, they do enforce their borders because they know
China's,
without borders there is no country. You've said that for two decades.
Two decades, borders, language, culture. Every nation in the history of the world has been defined by its borders, language, and culture. Obama is an eraser. The whole New World Order is erasure. And by the way, you know who funded this in Europe? It's George Soros.
Soros. I was just going to say George Soros. He's
How
back.
Is it that a survivor of the Holocaust could hate his host country so much that he would destroy them? How is this even possible?
And they say it's not about the money, it's about the money. What about the new backer of Marco Rubio, who looks like
God.
He's the replacement? He's the replacement candidate for a faltering Bush. So Marco's the fresh scrubbed, well-scrubbed, presentable, very nice person. But he's out there, and he's the next new thing, and Paul Singer is his backer.
Yeah, I read that story in Breitbart, but look, I've called Rubio the ice cream man for a year now. Much to the chagrin of my listeners to say, why are you saying that he's a nice guy? We don't need a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
They found the guy with an O at the end of his name, and they said, let's run him into the Senate. Now let's make him president because he's malleable. He'll do what we want. What do you have? What more do people have to know? That you've got a billionaire Republican, Sheldon Adelson, in Vegas, a billionaire Democrat, Larry Ellison, okay, of Oracle's, both supporting Rubio. They both have different needs from the stooge. The stooge will give Adelson all of the hotel workers he needs at the lowest possible wage, and the stooge Rubio will give Silicon Valley the cheaper labor that they all crave. You see, for sick people like that, there's no amount of money on earth that can cure them of the disease. Laura, you know, the Aztecs used to say about the Spaniards who were raping and pillaging their way through the Americas for gold. They claimed that the Spanish had gold fever, that no amount of gold could stop their insanity. We have the same thing with the class that's running this country and running the West. They're insane, and there's no amount of money. You're telling me Mark Zuckerberg needs more money? You're telling me Bill Gates, who calls for socialism, needs more money? What is wrong with these people? They're mentally ill. They're psychotic, all of them. People say, how could they be psychotic if they're so rich? Excuse me? Why, do you think wealth insulates people from insanity? I'm not poor. I've worked from being an immigrant son who sold comic books at age 5 in the streets of the Bronx to being fairly well off. But I am in a bubble. You know what kind of bubble? It's me and my dog. And so I see the world as it is. I talk to the mechanic. I talk to the housekeeper. I talk to the grocery clerk. I talk to the construction worker. I actually see things as they are. I'm not invited to any social gatherings. I've been ostracized because of my strong nationalist beliefs in this country. Nationalism is what frightens them. And here's the problem, Laura. I explained it to a German waitress yesterday who loves America. I said, how could Merkel do this to you? And she was a nice liberal woman. She said, I really don't know what she's doing. And I said to her, you have to understand that this desire to erase borders, language, and culture is being conducted by a group of the most evil psychotics the world has ever seen. What is it, 0.01% are dictating to people they should have no nation and no national identity? It's astonishing that we, the people, permitted it to get this far. And in Government Zero, I have a chapter called Zero Immigration, because that's what's required to save the nation. I don't believe for 1 minute that there aren't sufficient IT workers in this country to satisfy the needs of the greedy psychotics in Silicon Valley. You mean there's not enough money for Mark Zuckerberg? He needs more. He has to pay wages that are half that of an American worker. Zero immigration for 7 years. Let the Americans do the job. Train the poor kids who don't do anything how to do jobs. They can work if they were taught. Send them to trade school. We have a revolution that's occurring in this country being conducted by the most brilliant left-wing strategist the world has ever seen, named Barack Hussein Obama. Paul Ryan, John Boehner, Mitch the Gobbler McConnell, they're the opposition party.
How do we turn it around now?
I have 40 actions to save America in Government Zero. I don't just moan and groan. Number 3 on the list is deport all illegal aliens in American prisons.
Mm-hmm.
American prisons. That would be up to 1/3 of the prison population, which exceeds 2 million prisoners. And this is not an expense American taxpayers should be bearing, especially in a down economy. So when I say deport, I say deport the prisoners, not the workers. No one's saying deport workers. Start with 1/3 of them in prisons. There's no reason for us to pay for their care. Now, who would argue with that except the prison lobbies? The jailer lobbies, am I wrong?
Yeah, but what do you think about people using false documents to get jobs and work in the United States? You think that there's no deportation for that?
I don't even want to go there, and I'll tell you why. Because the minute you step into that, you get the left crazy and they say you're a fascist. Give them an argument that they can't refute. Throw them out of our prisons. Now let's see what they say about that. Start with small steps. If we get rid of the prison population, by the way, 1/3 of all prisoners are illegal aliens.
Yeah, that's an outrage. You never hear the candidate saying that, by the way.
Oh, so that's like 600,000-700,000. Deport them. That will create a sucking sound.
Hey, Michael, how about that? Here's my prison reform. Deport all the people out of our prisons who are illegally in the United States. That's going to save some money, don't you think?
40 points, 40 actions to save America. So you say, what can you do personally, right? Well, if we have a government that's working against the people, and we have a government that's allegedly responsible to the people and responsive to the people, I'm sorry, my friends, but short of a revolution, we have to work through the government. And so I've created the architectural plan. Close the borders for 7 years, deport illegal aliens, repeal the Anchor Babies Law, make English the official language of the United States, require government-issued ID to vote, reintroduce civics classes to elementary and secondary schools, restore to active duty all military officers purged by Obama. Just let me do two more. Restore physical standards in the military, and 10, restructure military spending. You say, well, what can I do about that? Mm-hmm. My friends, it's what we can do about that collectively. It's not putting up with the Paul Ryans. It's not putting up with the Republican lies. It's certainly not limiting ourselves to the electoral process.
Well, look at the Freedom Caucus, Michael. We're almost out of time, but the Freedom Caucus, what did they do? Raul Labrador, God bless him, but Raul Labrador is basically for this immigration reform madness. I mean, this guy is not going to be leading the revolution for conservatives. So
They set up co-opted front groups to take the steam out of the Tea Party and all the people who did want to take the country back. Look, money is behind all of these front groups.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is. The hour's almost up. I don't know how, whatever. It's almost over. We got to do two more, but it's easy. What the heck's going on? I don't know. But we've got a lot in, a lot to do. Let's go to Jack on WMAL. Jack, fire away. Make it quick. Please, what's on your mind, Jack?
I went to Hopkins Bookstore yesterday in the evening to buy the book. I did not see it on display anywhere in the store, so when I finally asked for help, they took me where it was, kind of hidden in nonfiction political. I asked the woman, I said, why wasn't it on display? She said, well, we only had two copies.
Yeah.
I said, well,
I'm surprised that it was even carried in a university bookstore and that it wasn't buried under feminine hygiene somewhere in the front of the store.
So the woman told me, she said, would you like more copies? I said, yeah, I'd like two more copies at least because I like to give them as gifts. So she said, I'll take your order.
Well, look, I don't want to talk about the book all day, but let me tell you something. The book is going to shake up the American political landscape, especially around Thanksgiving. And that's one of the benefits of it being November already. And the book is still rising on the list. It's just coming out this last week. If we put Government Zero on a coffee table, you wait until the sparks fly around dinner time when your friends come over and your relatives who are like, oh, what's that, right?
Well, I'm going to give it to my sister, who is a PhD in social work, and we don't even discuss politics anymore. So,
You're lucky you even talk to her at all, because usually, I'll tell you the truth, I found this in my own family. They're usually so closed-minded, you can't even have a discussion with them. Forget about a discussion. They won't even talk about it, the issues. Their minds are made up. They know everything. You know, we're going to play a tape in the next hour. I don't know the organization. They went around with a microphone in L.A., and they asked people if they'd like to see Sharia law, which is what Hillary Clinton would like in America. And they asked young women in their 20s who look like they're college-educated, well, they must be, would you like to see Sharia law? And you see the girls almost to the woman say to the guy, oh, yes, Hillary's cool. I'd like Sharia law. They don't even know what it means. All they know is that they're brainwashed to be nice to minorities. You understand what I'm saying, where this is coming from?
Well, they have no view of history. They don't know what happened in Lebanon. They don't know what's going on currently. So
stay on the line, my friend. You're a very educated man. And I'm going to send you another copy of Government Zero to give out to a local liberal in your lake community.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, I'm high, Blue Monday. Got to work, like a slave on me. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday.
It is Tuesday? No, it's Monday. It must be the Savage Nation. All right. Here's a little story that should make all of your multi-culti people quite happy. A group of middle-aged whites in the U.S. is dying at a startling rate. So you got what you wanted. a large segment of white middle-aged Americans has suffered a startling rise in its death rate, reversing decades of progress. The mortality rate for white men, everyone cheer now, and white women between the ages of 45 and 54, with less than a college education, increased by 0.5% per year between 1999 and 2013. Let's hear it for the multiculturalists who've targeted the white people. They say most likely because of problems with legal and illegal drugs, alcohol, and suicide, according to a study released in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Now, before 1999, death rates for that group were dropping at an average of 2% a year. So why is it suddenly rising? Well, they say drugs, alcohol, and suicide are clearly the proximate cause, said Angus Deaton, the 2015 Nobel laureate in economics who co-authored the paper with his wife. 500,000 people are dead who should not be dead, he added, about 40 times the Ebola stats. You're getting up there with HIV/AIDS. It's an interesting statistic. So why is it that middle-aged, lower, lesser-educated whites are committing suicide with drugs, alcohol, and straight-out killing themselves? You would think with the nanny state it would go down, the death rate. But no, it's gone up. As a matter of fact, rates for U.S. blacks and Hispanics have been declining, meaning death rates, for decades. Interesting. Well, uneducated whites seem to be targeted for, well, something that's not good. Isn't that interesting? Well, we can't go into that. We're not intelligent enough to discuss this amongst ourselves. We need NPR to analyze it for us with some Vivaldi music in the background to show you how smart they are. Meanwhile, the United Nations is planning a court for climate justice while the Antarctic is gaining ice. And meanwhile, the top French meteorologist who questioned global warming has been fired. Sieg Heil, my friends. Schnoor, WABC, what's your topic? Welcome to the show. Why are you calling? What's on your mind? Go ahead. What's on your mind? Fire away.
Hi. I come from, small community in Brooklyn, I've been listening to you for like 10 years or more. And, I've been listening to you, and you were talking about how the Germans and mainly the Europeans, they've been, been flooded with, migrants and everything. My theory, meaning it's only a theory, could be that, because of the, what the Germans did to the Jewish people, in the 1930s and 40s, that this can be a, maybe a result, meaning what comes around goes around.
Okay, so let's take your logic. You're saying they're being punished for what they did to the Jews. I'm not going to get excited because it's idiotic on the face of it. So why were the Jews punished in the death camps? Did they do something to deserve being gassed to death?
No, absolutely not.
Well, wait a minute. Hold it. You just said that they were being punished for something that they collectively did, even though most of them weren't alive during World War II. So by the same token of illogic that you're using, shouldn't you apply it to the Jewish people who were mercilessly slaughtered and say they did something and that was the reason it happened? I mean, isn't that what you're arguing, that there's a cause and effect?
No, but again, you're right in that aspect, but I'm saying I agree with you by the fact that, it shouldn't be happening, and I agree that the Germans should be holding on, to their culture. It's a very, very important aspect of a nation.
It was, it's like the most advanced culture in Europe, and it still is. And they're throwing it down the toilet because they have a fascist running their country who was stepping on their people. And by the way, even liberal Germans don't want the Muslims flooding into their country. They're coming in at the rate of 10,000 a day, like army ants invading their nation. And she's inviting them in. Now, how can a country sustain that?
Agreed 100%. In fact, I believe that in the end, they will be the ones to cut her throat.
We're not calling for cutting anyone's throat. What they need to do is throw the monster out of office as fast as possible. Thank you for the call, but your logic is flawed. You see, what goes around comes around. I mean, you start saying that, so a school bus goes off a cliff with children on it. What, they did something to deserve that? I don't buy that. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. Meanwhile, in Germany, the Nazi parties are rising because of her. The neo-Nazis are rising, which is the nightmare scenario. By the way, this is exactly what happened under Hitler, how Hitler came to power, rather. A weak government, and there was a reaction to the weak government, and now we're seeing a reaction to the crazy weak government. Neo-Nazis terrorize asylum seekers with firebombs and chilling attack in German town. Now, why are the mobs of neo-Nazis going on an orgy of violence in Germany against asylum seekers? Well, for one, they're Nazis. But two, it's because their government is attacking their own nation. It's reminiscent of the dark days of the early days of the Third Reich. And the fact of the matter is, it's Angela Merkel's open-door policy to invaders that is causing this reaction amongst the neo-Nazis. They want their country. They do not want their country taken away from them. Am I justifying what they're doing? Absolutely not. I'm opposed to violence. But to me, invading your own nation is a form of violence. Merkel is committing violence upon her borders, language, and culture in the same manner that Obama, the sneak thief, is causing violence on America's national identity. Make no mistake about it. They had pretty pictures of him over the weekend giving out Halloween candy. And then the fool went on a TV show Friday night in a costume and made a mockery of the presidency. He is committing a violence against our national identity. How is it that a 0.001% of the world can do this to Western nations, including America? The people don't want it. Even liberals don't want the invasion, by the way, in this country. You ask them, they don't want the invasion. So what can I say to you? Well, I can say it pretty clearly in Government Zero. And that is that it's time to close the borders. Zero immigration is a chapter that has real meaning. Zero means zero. No immigration until we absorb those that are here and kick out those that don't belong here. And by the way, because of the great man Putin, 800,000 refugees have returned to Syria because he's obliterating the Islamic State. That's right. Your lying president, your lying backstabbing president, did nothing for a year with the world's most powerful military. And now because of Putin's muscular attacks upon these vermin, these throwbacks, these Islamofascists, 800,000 refugees are returning to Syria because Putin is obliterating the Islamic State. Putin ought to be given a Nobel Peace Prize for what he is doing to restore sanity in the Middle East. And Obama should be given the anti-Nobel Prize for the devastation of his Arab Spring, which is the opposite of a spring. It is the Arab hell that he has created, not Arab Spring. Hear, hear. I hear the cheers coming from the audience. So all I have is a small radio show, The Savage Nation, heard on about 250 stations. Millions of listeners, it's true. And I write books that are bestsellers, it's true. But apparently the evil people who run the country do not hear the show and do not read my books. The evil people who are supported by the billionaire class who want cheaper labor answer only to the billionaire class that wants cheaper labor. It's that simple. End of story. They bought and sold our politicians, and it's time to take the nation back. That opens up one line at 855-400. I don't know the number. I almost gave an old number out. Here it is, 855-400-7282. So you know what's hard for me to remember numbers? Who remembers it's 855-400-7282? How can I remember that my number is 855-400-SAVAGE? How can I remember that my website is michaelsavage.com? How can I remember the title of my book is Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture? Well, I just did. Now let's take some calls. What's this now? Calls? European? Okay. WABC, Ed, fire away. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I believe that the Nazis so damaged the European psyche in Europe in the 40s that they've gone 180 degrees from being aggressive to absolutely lying down to the...
All right, so how do you explain America? We defeated the Nazis. Why are we lying down to the invasion from the South? Why are we lying down to Obama, that criminal? Why are we lying down to the criminals in the White House?
Oh, political correctness.
What does that mean, political correctness? We're afraid of him? What is he going to do to us? Put us in a concentration camp?
His complexion is his protection.
I'll tell you what it is. It's brainwashing. The youth of America has been brainwashed. Most middle-aged white people are dumb as doorposts. They are also brainwashed by the government media complex. They have no idea what's happening to their own country, nor do they care. Did you see what went on over the Halloween weekend? Are you telling me those people running around the streets, they look like people who are going to defend their nation?
Absolutely not. They could never.
They look like fools. They look like grown-up idiots running around in costumes. That's not a nation that's going to survive. That's a nation that's dead already. It's the walking dead. Don't get me started. It's not 1 foot in the grave, it's 2 feet in the grave. And they glorify it. They glorify the graveyard. Take a look at what Harvey Weinstein produces. Take a look at what Katzenberg, and Ratzenberg produce. You're telling me now it's a dead culture? You're telling me this is a society that can survive with psychotics running Hollywood, putting out movies that are anti-American, in particular anti-white America, movies that are anti-police, movies that are anti-military, movies that despise our past and our history, movies that erase our borders and make a mockery of our border patrol, movies that make a mockery of the English language, movies that say we have no culture? No, I would argue the contrary, my friends. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I put it on my Facebook over the weekend. Because I was a little boy, 4 or 5 years old in the Bronx. I'd sit with my little phonograph that was a hand-wound. Can you believe it? I had a hand-wound phonograph. Maybe my parents thought I'd get electrocuted if I had electricity. I would wind the thing up, and I'd play this song by Gene Autry over and over and over again, dreaming of the wide open spaces to get out of that cramped little horrible apartment. 5, 6 of us were living in there. I don't know how many, whatever. It was clean, but boy, I just wanted to be in the wide open spaces, and I always dreamed of the West. And now I'm living in the West. Whatever. Now I could do with some Gene Autry music right now. Highest ever number of migrants arriving in Europe. Highest ever number, with October eclipsing the entire of 2014. And you're telling me that Merkel and Cameron and the others in the evil union should not be tried for war crimes? Are you telling me that if we had a sane world, that Merkel and the others wouldn't be arrested immediately by Interpol and arrested for invading their own nation? They're invading their own nation. You don't do this to a country without having a vote, unless you're a criminal and you're imposing it on your people. I think that Putin should be given a Nobel Prize for taking on the Islamic State while Barry from Honolulu dithered and entertained himself and crushed the Republican Party and stamped on the Constitution and stepped on the American people. Putin stepped up to the plate and started to pound those vermin into the Stone Age where they belong, make them into powder, kill every last one of them. Then the Syrians should be deported from Europe. Every last Syrian who came into Europe should be deported back to Syria to rebuild their nation. And that goes for Africans as well, who are fleeing Africa directly as a result of that lunatic Hillary Clinton with her Arab Spring. She caused this mass migration out of Africa because of bringing down Gaddafi. Do you understand any of this? It's all in government zero. And maybe I'm getting ahead of my audience. I realize most of you don't want to hear it's too hot for you. I get it. It's Monday, weekend, World Series, Halloween, and blah, blah, blah. You don't want to hear any of this. You don't want to hear about a nation anymore. You had enough. Maybe you did. Maybe my inner mind part, the part of my mind that has feedback, knows that you can't take it anymore. Okay, just because I'm a living thesaurus of what's going on doesn't mean that you want to hear it. Maybe you don't want to read the thesaurus right now or listen to the thesaurus. Maybe you'd rather talk about Dinosaurus Rex. I don't know the answer for what the average person out there wants. I know that the nation is a sad sack right now, but I have great hope that the country can come back. I still do. I know the millennials are very conservative. The media won't show you that, but it's a gigantic cultural phenomenon going on right now. And it's not atypical, by the way. Children usually react to their parents in an opposite way. The hippie generation reacted to the overly conservative parents that they had. Then the children of the hippies are becoming conservative. It's the way of the world. The question is, why don't they stand up and be counted? I mean, they don't know what to do it. You know, that's the whole point. Anyway, let's move on to something else. And I don't know where I want to go yet. Friday, I did an interesting show. And I asked men why they're afraid to get married. Are they afraid of women? Remember that show? It was a simple question. Men, young men, why are you afraid of women? Why are you afraid of becoming a father? And we had great calls on it. It was a pretty interesting show, in case you missed it. It was groundbreaking in talk radio because it wasn't just politics. Most people don't want to hear about politics right now. But if you want to talk about that, you can throw it back up in the air and let's talk about it. Because it's a good topic. The fact of the matter is the white race is dying out across the planet. I know you can't say it. But, you know, if I was saying it and it was false, I wouldn't be on the radio another second. If you look at the birth rate amongst European nations, and then compare the birth rate to Arabic-speaking nations, Muslim-dominated nations, African nations, you'll see a certain alarming trend. And if you project it forward by 50 years, you realize that a certain demographic will disappear from the planet by and large. Now, you have to ask yourself, why is this happening? Why are men afraid to get married and have children? Do you think it was easy 20 years ago? Do you think it was easier 50 years ago? Do you think it was easier 100 years ago? Do you think it was easier to get married and have a family 150 years ago? No, my friends. People had babies. They got married under very, very difficult circumstances. They didn't wait for a magic wand to come down from heaven and tell them to get married and have a child. And it's a combination of things. I don't know. It's not like blaming anyone. But I would encourage you to understand that the hardest thing and most important thing and most phenomenal thing a man could do is have a family. Because you'll wind up otherwise a 50-year-old with hair plugs chasing women. That's all you'll be, is an old man chasing women. Is that what you want to be? With no children, nothing in your life? Listen to me. Listen to me. Do something good for yourself. Get married and have a child. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Too early in the morning. Turn it off. It's too early on a Monday. I'm not ready for the could-be magic job. All right, so let's look at Germany. I allege that Angela Merkel is a war criminal, and I believe Angela Merkel should be tried in a People's Hague. You've never heard that anywhere. You never heard that anywhere. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is committing a war crime against her own people by invading Germany with foreigners who will never assimilate. Instead, the Germans are forced to accommodate people who are alien to their society, will never become Germans, will never, ever adapt to Germany, and they want Germany to adapt to them. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is a war criminal, and there should be a people's tribunal. She should be found guilty. That's number one. Number two, Putin should be given a Nobel Peace Prize for taking on ISIS while our false leader made believe he was conducting a war against ISIS. Now let's look at a story and you decide for yourself. Germany. Ready for this? Church removes altar, pulpits, and Christian crosses to make refugees feel welcome. The Protestant church in Oberhausen, Germany, offered to make the group of 50 Muslims feel more welcome. Pastor Joachim Dettering said, "Before the refugees can move in, the seats have to be taken away. Also, the altar, the pulpit, and font are movable. Washing machines will also be installed in the church, and refugees will be given free meals," according to German newspaper Handelsblatt. Now, earlier this month, the Bishop of Stockholm, Sweden, told a church in her diocese, she's a lesbian, by the way, to remove all signs of the cross to make the building more inviting for Muslim worshippers. Does the lesbian bishop understand what Muslims think of lesbians? Does she understand she's committing a form of not only cultural suicide, but perhaps even personal suicide? Now it gets even worse. The lesbian bishop of Stockholm also said the direction of Mecca should be marked and called Muslim refugee. She called Muslim refugees angels. Eva Brunn, that's funny, Eva Brunn, very close to Eva Braun, said it is important that there are places for praying sisters and brothers, and we show hospitality and tolerance regardless of faith. Doesn't that sound good on paper, that we show tolerance regardless of faith? Don't you think that that's theologically advanced to say that? Well, there are priests who don't believe that it is tolerant to say that. Father Patrick Pedersen said, the only argument Bishop Eva really put forward in support of review is hospitality. How do you respond to that? Not much of a basis for discussion. The theological, ecclesiological, and pastoral and working issues are left untouched, he said. Well, that's because he's not a talk show host. But the fact of the matter is, this is a situation that is now out of control. But if it was only Germany and England and France and Hungary, it would be one thing. But it's not. It's going on right here in the United States of America while Barry and his sorority continue to invade America with people against the will of the American people. Because every poll, no matter who does the poll, shows that overwhelmingly people say enough is enough. No more illegal immigrants into this country. No more refugees in this country. Period. End of story. What's amazing to me, what's the most amazing part, is how the evil people in the so-called black community, who have been so vociferous in hating America for so many years, cashing in on it, by the way, in their hatred, have nothing to say about the influx of illegal aliens into this country, who are harming predominantly, by the way, poor people in this country. And many black people, as you well know, are poor. Why is it that the black community is not standing up against this refugee swarm that Obama wants to bring into the country? How is it going to help poor people in this country to take care of another huge population of poor people? Answer, zero immigration. Zero, 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 no immigrants. No percentage of immigrants is necessary in a nation that has a lifeboat that is full. Any more immigrants and the lifeboat will swamp. Everyone will suffer. Now, in Government Zero, I have a chapter entitled, and I'm going to go to it right now, Zero Immigration, page 158. And the first subhead is, what country is this? Sleeper cells among us, leaving Christians to the wolves, the sleepers awaken, importing crime, importing disease, importing socialism, illegal immigrants for profit, meaning who is cashing in on the immigrant surge. I name names and I name the corporations. On page 189, I give you some hope. Can we get America back? And it's only hope. It is only hope to get America back. Because unless there is a people's tribunal for these evil socialists who hate borders, language, and culture, there is no hope. And I think we need to establish a people's tribunal in this country and in Europe and start trying the leaders for crimes against humanity, because that is what they are committing. They are committing crimes against their own people. If that is not a crime against humanity, tell me what is. I stand by my words. I see it as clearly as I stand here before this microphone. I'm as clear as a bell. And I will say it again. Should people's tribunals be established in Europe and in America and try the so-called leaders who are invading their own nation with foreigners who will never assimilate, forcing the nation itself to accommodate foreigners who will never ever assimilate to their nation? Is that not a war crime? Tell me what is. Tell me what a war crime is. What, do you actually have to kill a nation in order to be found guilty? They're killing a nation softly. You know, there are various methods that are used by revolutionaries. Obama's the most clever leftist in history. He has used a form of soft communism, soft Marxism, to invade this nation and to corrupt it to the extent that the American people don't even know what he's doing. He's such a genius at what he does that he could conduct himself like this with a sleight of hand, and the people don't even know what he's doing to this country. The average moron walking around with a candy corn over the weekend, a schmendrick walking around with a Halloween costume on, drunk in the streets of white America, he knows what's going on. All he says is, oh, be tolerant. Oh, don't be so mean. Oh, we're a nation of immigrants. They have all the answers, don't they? They have all the answers, but all of them are incorrect. As I've been so careful to explain to you, that a nation is defined by its borders, language, and culture. And you cannot just bring in any number of people into a nation without destroying its identity. So now that, let's go to the next point. What's so important about a national identity? What is so important about it? Why can't we all be, like Obama says, a citizen of the world? Don't many liberals who are so advanced, all the therapists, all of the professors who travel to Thailand for sex, don't they all tell you that they're citizens of the world? What they really mean is they like cheap sex and brothels in Thailand where they can conduct themselves with 14-year-old children. That's what they really mean by citizens of the world, because they know that the laws are much less strict in The Hague, which I won't go into. I won't go into The Hague and who runs it. And who they are, these devious war criminals. Now, if you think I'm angry, I apologize in advance, but I'm also being very, very truthful in what I'm saying to you. I may be angry right now. I'm really more agitated than I am angry. I'm not angry at all. I'm agitated. Because I don't know how much longer this world can survive with these war criminals running our countries. Let's start using the correct word. Merkel is committing war crimes. Is she or not? Is she or is she not, in your opinion? It is a talk show. It's heard around the world on the internet. Is there someone in Germany listening to this show right now who disagrees with me? Robert, leave a few lines open. I want European callers right now. What is it now? I get on the old clock, plus 9, 8, 5 in the morning. There must be an insomniac in Germany somewhere who's hearing this show. Is there a German listening to this show who disagrees with me when I say that Angela Merkel is committing a war crimes against her own people? I want to hear it. That's all. I don't know if we're going to get any. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's get some callers. And let's go to WMAL Ken. Welcome to the program. He's calling from Washington, D.C. on line 9. Ken, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I went to the bookstore yesterday, and there were ample copies of your new novel. And on the front cover, there was a photograph of you. And within a second after I saw it, it reminded me of the movie Gary Cooper starred in High Noon, and he was a lawman who was not supported by his community, and he went out to face the enemy alone, and he was wounded and survived. And that's all I can remember of the movie, and I think that makes a big statement. I thought you have a cowboy hat on, and if you had a cowboy hat on now and a six gun, you'd be the Gary Cooper of the modern times.
Well, who doesn't want to hear a compliment like that? It's actually a fedora, not a cowboy hat, but it's a large brown fedora. That is true. What I like most about the cover is it's a brilliant piece of book design, by the way. The nation in a red puzzle, you know, in the form of a puzzle piece with the words on it. No, you know, government zero, no borders, no language, no culture. But I get what you're saying. Sometimes it feels like that, Ken. And the phone number, I gave you the phone number. Let me send you a free copy for Thanksgiving so you can put it on your, around the turkey. Put a copy on the table around the turkey, because everyone has liberal relatives who don't know what's going on. They have no idea what's going on. Thanks for the compliment. Oh, what should I talk about now? The countries that are eating dogs and cats. You want me to go into that heartbreak? I don't want to go into it. I can't take it. Cats and dogs are sent to slaughter. Can you believe the world we're living in? Killing, dismembering, cooking, and eating pet cats and dogs. Do you know where it's going on? Oh, you know what's going on in China and North Korea. That you know. Did you know what's going on in Switzerland? Switzerland is the last remaining Western country to allow the practice of dismembering, cooking, and eating pet cats and dogs. Did you know that? Switzerland. Yeah. Little old yodelers. They're eating their old cat and dog along with their fondue. They're having cat fondue. Dog meat is mainly used to make sausages and is thought to be a remedy for rheumatism. The favorite type of meat comes from a dog that is related to the Rottweiler. The killing and eating of a cat or dog is only illegal if the method of slaughter is deemed to have caused unnecessary suffering. Otherwise, you can eat a cat or a dog. That's in Switzerland, by the way, in the Alpine state. How do you like that? I didn't know that. I really didn't know this. It's unbelievable to me. Describing his unusual palate to Switzerland's SRF1 television, a spokesman said, "It's not much different to eating chicken. The important thing is that the animal doesn't suffer when you shoot it. Cat meat is delicate and digests easily. It tastes better than rabbit. I grew up in a large family, and it was normal to catch cats, which my mother would roast. There is nothing worse about eating a cat than eating seafood or sushi." Huh. Now, a nutritionist said that there's no evidence that eating cat meat was bad for health. It all depends on what the animal has been fed on. Okay, you get the whole picture. I could never eat a dog myself, nor a cat. I don't know what it is. I understand about scared lambs, cows, and pigs. I get it. And I know that those are some species and the cat and the dog are others. But I would argue that although all of these other animals, whether they be lambs, cows or pigs can have a degree of intelligence, and they are certainly sentient creatures that are terrified of dying, and they don't want to die. And I've been in a slaughterhouse. It's a terrible thing to see. The animals know they're going to die. It's a horrible thing to witness. They look back at their fellow animals as they're about to have their head blown off or a shot put in their head. I saw the cow turn back and look at their friends. I know what it goes on. It's really frightening. And then you go to a book. Okay, I get it. But the reason I feel a dog should not be eaten is because they're more highly intelligent. And I believe that when they're more highly intelligent, they feel more fear and they feel more pain. That's my opinion. It's that simple. Now, if you have a moral or ethical reason for not eating animals, I respect that. That's all. And if you're repulsed by the thought of eating Teddy or Felix the cat, well, don't eat any animals. We know in Asia, China, Korea, Vietnam, they eat dogs, and they torture them. In fact, the Koreans have a special dog meat breed called Nurungi, which is bred for human consumption and barely kept as a pet. I understand all of this. It's an interesting topic, and I don't know that we even have to talk about it. But since I'm a dog lover, and I always have been since I'm a little boy, I've always had a dog, funny thing in my life, I've always had a dog sort of next to me. Everywhere I've been in the world, I've lived with a dog. Would you believe it? I've always felt that they're a spirit that both, it doesn't guide me, but it does protect me. And I don't mean they can protect me in the sense that a 45 caliber handgun can protect me. What I mean is the dog has senses that obviously we don't have. They can hear things out in the street that I can't even hear. My little 10-pounder, he lays there at the foot of that bed. He's like, woof, woof, woof. I said, will you stop it? I'm trying to sleep. And he looks at me and goes, you know, he hears it. So it's like, okay, they're like a burglar alarm with ears. Now, having said that, last night I had a bad dream that I let Teddy go and he got run over. Now, there's a reason for I had that dream. Is because every morning I usually take him out of the house and I let him run off leash around, you know, the street. But not in the street. He's very well trained to run on the sidewalk. But he gets so excited before I let him go. He runs out of the garage and I say, wait, 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 wait. I make him look. You know, left, right. He didn't want to look yesterday. He shot right out of the garage across the street. Now, one of the moron children, kids who lives around here, that speeds up and down the street, I like to puncture their tires, was shooting down the street by yakking on an iPhone, the dog would be dead. You understand what I'm saying to you? The stoner children who live in these neighborhoods, you think they look? You think the idiots look as they're driving around in their cars? They don't look at anything. They have the heads of the stupid iPhone. So from now on, I have to take the dog in the garage with the chain and the bicycle and manage it all. Now I have to hold him and say, wait a minute, then I have to look and then let him go. Another 2 minutes added to my burden. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Only a minute and a half remain. Marion, KSFO, you have the final word. Fire away. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just noticing that you didn't mention the trend in living together. Most of my, I have two boys. They're 28 and 26. Most of their peers have lived together or had babies first and lived together. And I don't know.
No, that's not a new phenomenon. When I was young, there was also a thing called roomies where people would move in with each other and live with each other before getting married. It's really not that new a phenomenon, Marion. But we often got married after living with the woman. Today, I don't know if that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
The boys today won't make the commitment. They want to move on. They're afraid to be a father. They're just afraid. I don't know if they can handle a responsibility.
One of my sons.
Maybe there's not enough social pressure on boys. Maybe there's no shame and guilt anymore. Maybe that's the problem with having a shame-free and guilt-free society, where people do what they want like a dog or an animal in the gutter, and they have no shame for it. Maybe they should have shame and guilt for running out on a woman after impregnating her. Don't you think maybe that's part of the problem?
I do. I think
all right.
They ought to live.
Maybe I'm arguing for reintroducing some responsibility, which I call shame and guilt. You know, the liberals told us that don't make anyone feel bad. They shouldn't have any guilt. They shouldn't have any shame. Well, look what we have right now. Insanity. I say we should think about having some shame and guilt for our behavior. That's all. Okay, I'm not moralizing, I hope. This is the Savage Nation. Stay in line, Marion. Sending you Government Zero to read to your sons. I can't guarantee that it'll make you a grandmother.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hour number three. Well, what can I do for you now? I think we stumbled on a topic I did in the last hour that was sort of not political, but actually very political, which is why young men are not getting married and having children. I don't think there's anything more political than that. When you see a nation dying like this, you have to ask yourself, why is no one talking about it? Well, and we talked about it on Friday. I asked young men to call saying, why are you afraid of women? Are you afraid of being a father? What is it that's keeping you from having a family? Your father did it. Your mother did it. Well, it wasn't good enough for them. If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be here. They don't even think about it because there's no social pressure on young men to have children anymore. It's, you know, I don't want to go into why. We all know why. We know what happened. You know, it's hedonism. It's drugs, sex, and rock and roll. It's a sense of no family, no continuity. And, of course, look, I have to tie it into politics. You may not understand there's a bigger force at work here. I have read Karl Marx. I read every word of Marx's Das Kapital in the English translation at that. And one of his primary attacks was upon the bourgeois family. Marx said that if you break the family, you can break the bourgeois society. You may not know it, young people, but you have actually been attacked your entire life with the propaganda ministry putting out a daily attack upon family, God, religion. They attacked your ability to even bond with a woman. And Ray, I'm talking to the men now. I think most women would like to meet a guy and have a family, but men don't. And they don't even understand it. This hedonism of just having a good time, it's really not intuitively the right thing for a man to do. You may think it is because you've been raised to believe that, but that's really not the natural course of human events. You look at every other culture on earth. Are they all stupid? Are you telling me the African tribesman is an idiot because he wants a wife and children and he'll protect them with his life? Are you telling me that the Bedouin Arab who has a large family and protects them with his life going back eons is an idiot? Are you telling me that all the people who have raised families at great cost are all fools and only you're the smart one because you have a hipster beard and walk around smoking a cigarette at 3 in the morning outside a bar like a stumble bum loser on the Bowery? That makes you a superior being? I'm laying it on the line to you. I'm talking to you like a Dutch uncle, if you're a Dutch uncle. I wouldn't even say a Dutch uncle anymore. I dare say that there are no Dutch uncles. It's Dutch chocolate, I know that. And speaking of which, a lot of guys are very cheap. They go Dutch with women. I can't even say that. That's an insult to the Dutch. Do you know that most men don't even have the dignity to pay for a date with women? Did you know that? I've been reading about these things. They go out. I'm talking about people in their 20s, 30s even. They make the woman pay half the meal. Did you know that? You didn't know about the social trend. Guys have become cheap. There's no dignity in this anymore. So what's going on? How do you fix it? How does a nation survive? I don't have a direct answer to you, but it's worth talking about the problem. And I just got an email about the dog thing in Switzerland. I got to read it to you. It's not an email. It's on my Facebook from a Kathleen Walter Breuger. And she said, Dr. Savage, listening now, the Swiss people who are eating dogs or cats are psychos. There are butchers there who are just for horse meat. I never liked that, but most Swiss people, and by that I mean 99.9%, do not eat cats and dogs. They are very loving to pets of any kind. Please don't make people think Swiss are all eating cats and dogs. This is the truth, says Kathleen Walter Breuger. All right, well, I didn't intend to go to Switzerland. I don't know if I'm banned in Switzerland yet for reporting on the cats and dog thing. I'm banned in England. I'll probably be banned from the Vatican now for exposing the Pope for being the first political Pope in modern history. But I don't know that I'm banned from going to Switzerland. I would like to visit Switzerland. There's a number of reasons I like to go to Switzerland, but I've never been there. Actually, I passed through Switzerland once on a train ride from France to, so long ago, so beautiful, green. All I saw was green, clean country. Yeah, I hope it stays that way. I really do. Alex, WABC, great caller. Thanks for thinking of us. What's on your mind, Alex?
So I wanted to comment, talk about something in regards to the term radical Islam. I don't think we should use a term because it's not radical Islam, it's Islam. I'm Armenian, and Armenia is one of the oldest Christian countries. So when Islam came about, we were already the Christian country in the area.
Well, hold on. Before you go, I want you to know I'm the only talk show host who actually knows about the Armenian Holocaust and has talked about how many millions of Armenians were slaughtered by Muslims over how many years. I know about it. The United States won't acknowledge it. It is one of the great Holocausts in history. It was conducted by Muslims, and you need to tell the story right now on the Savage Nation.
Of the genocide?
Yes, the Armenian genocide, the Armenian Holocaust conducted by Muslims against innocent Armenians.
Well, yeah, that's what I was getting at. It was the last genocide that they did. We went through a genocide every 100 years or so. Every 100 years, they would get a leader, they would unite, and they would try to come towards Europe to Christianize everybody. And wave after wave after wave for over...
Wait, hold it. You said to Christianize everybody? Is that what you meant to say?
The opposite, I'm sorry.
No, I listen to every word. To de-Christianize everybody and convert them all to Sharia law. And because the Armenians wouldn't do it, they slaughtered men, women, and children. I have seen the photographs. By the way, my friend, I have a friend whose father-in-law was a doctor who worked in Armenia after the slaughter, after the genocide, and I saw the photographs, which you can Google. You're not going to believe what the Muslims did to the Armenians. It's hard to believe. And yet we never hear about it.
The stories?
Yeah. Well, anyway, do you have a final comment on this horrible subject?
No, but may I comment about marriage?
Oh, go ahead. Go about marriage. Go.
I was thinking this whole issue of boyfriend-girlfriend, in my culture, if you're with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you go out with that person with the intention of marriage down the line. Young people nowadays, when they get with somebody, that thought doesn't even cross their mind.
No, they go out and they have shots till the girl is as drunk as a sailor. She goes home with the guy and she wakes up in the morning, puts on her clothing, goes to work. She doesn't want any more than he does. It's no different with the girls. They become like bums themselves.
It was a pleasure, Dr. Savage. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
All right. No, I understand. I'm sorry for being so graphic in my description of what I see, but hey, I'm from another time and place. We saw the world a different way. Okay, say, well, okay, girls are just doing what boys have always done. Great. How's that working out for you? How's that working out for you who followed the feminist movement? That worked out for you? Get back to me when you're 40 and you're alone somewhere in a house with a cat. Tell me how that's worked out for you. Once you're past that point where the guys are looking at you. Tell me how that worked out for you. So-called freedom is slavery, my friends. Read your Orwell. You know what I'm talking about. Go ahead, laugh. Keep laughing. Keep on laughing at old Michael Savage. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You know what you're talking about, right? Hollywood knows what it's talking about. Hollywood is constant brainwashing and propaganda. They know what they're talking about, right? Now, where's this other one that was calling about the marriage thing? I like this topic. And the men are afraid to have kids. They're selfish. That's true. Is that a woman or a man? Where's the one about the... I couldn't say what I was going to say. Because it's a phrase that we used to use when I was younger, but if you say it today, it really is sexist. Even I catch myself realizing there are certain things that can't be said today about the farm and the cow. You know, you can't say that, but I danced around it. Like, why would you want to have a farm if you can, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying around it. You can't say what we used to say. Like, why would you want to buy the, if you can get the, for free, right? Robert's laughing. He's a young guy. He gets the joke. It's not a joke. I mean, it's that simple. What do you think most... Okay, you get the picture. Love and marriage, don't go together like a horse and cow. I'm not in the mood. Frank's dead. Mr. Blue Eyes already... I don't even want to think about it. That's all. WMAL, Josh, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hey, thank you for bringing up this topic. It really made me start thinking about it. I wanted to bring the other point in that, you know, I'm a 30-year-old guy. I've tried multiple times to settle down with women and... you know, the downfall is I'm not afraid of that stuff, but every time that I talk about my values, talk about, you know, where I'm coming from on the right side of things, they run as fast as they can. So, you know, I want to provide, you know, the other side. It's not just men that are afraid. It's, you know, women and, the way they've been brainwashed, especially in the D.C. area.
Well, are you saying the women are afraid of commitment as well today?
Yeah, also that. And I'm also saying, you know, like as a conservative man, every time that I... you know, let out those values to the women, and, you know, especially in my experiences in the D.C. area.
No, you can't. You have to hide it. You have to be a Murano conservative. You got to pretend that you're a liberal. You got to bend forward. You have to show that you have no spine. You have to say that I believe in global warming and prove it. You have to say you're in favor of immigrants. Yes, you have to absolutely fake it or else you're finished. You'll never meet anyone in Washington.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time I talk about immigration, you know, it's all the same thing. They, you know, they don't want any part of that.
No. They're all in favor of Sharia law, too. They don't even know what it is, but they like it because it's not American. Anything that's not American is good in Washington, D.C. Listen, I have a guaranteed way of you never meeting a girl. I'm sending you a free copy of Government Zero. And if you really never want to meet a girl again, just carry it around with you to work, carry it around on the metro. I guarantee you'll never go out again. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. All right, knock it off, little girl of mine, a little girl. That's just what they want to be called, a little girl. That's what they really want to hear. Everyone's a big woman, a superstar. Girls fly better than men. You wonder why men are afraid of them. You go into a gym, they look like they can break your neck. The average guy's afraid of women. And, you know, I'm not even talking about that reality. Women are tough to begin with. They outlive men. That's a given. Why do women outlive men in a non-war time? Genetically, they're stronger than men. See, you know, the fairer sex, they're strong. You ever see who the huntress is in the jungle? You ever look at the female tigers and the female lions? He lays at home, the idiot. He waits for her to bring home the bacon. He lays there with the mane showing how good looking he is, waves his head around on the savannah, and he kicks her out with a girlfriend to go hunt for him. She brings home the antelope meat. And if they're good, well, okay, that's all. So don't think women are so fawning, you know, weak and fawning. I think a lot of men are afraid of women today. There's something they won't admit. They're not. I don't know if this is a hard topic, but a lot of men are afraid of women today. Now, I'm not blaming women for being tough. You know, they had a change over the last 20, 30 years into something different than they were, certainly different than their mothers, you know, the stay-at-home mom, the cooking and the this and the that. Most women, who would want to do that? But as a result, the family has fallen apart in plain English. So who's having the large families? Basically, very religious and very big immigrant families. Is it as simple as that? Educated women, what do they want to do? They want to make a living. They want to do with guys who travel, climb mountains, jump out of airplanes, who knows what. What do you do, tell people how to live? So as a result, there'll be none of them left. No reproduction, that's all. It's not their problem. They're not worried. So you don't see beyond. They're not living for a society. They're not living for more specifically, for a race. Let's put it to you that way. They don't see themselves as a part of a racial identity, nor, for that matter, do they see themselves part of a nation at all. They're self-driven, and I don't mean just women. I'm talking about a generational thing. People don't care about the nation they live in. They don't identify with the nation they live in. They're not as gung-ho about borders, language, and culture as I am or many of you are. They don't see it that way. And as a result, evil people like George Soros and Zuckerbergs, the Zuckerbergs of the world, can virtually get away with anything that they want to get away with. That's my estimation of what's going on. People say, what do I care about the country? What has it got? What's it for me? Remember JFK made that great statement, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I was a young kid. I was a young teacher. I remember how that struck me. You talk about great lines that can motivate a generation. I was a young kid. I had nothing. I was a young teacher. I had no direction, but we had a leader, a wonderful leader, John F. Kennedy Jr. I don't care about the Marilyn Monroe and the philandering. That was his business. It didn't really bother me one way or the other. I paid no attention to it. All I know is that when he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, I was motivated. And I started to think about what I could do for my country. Now, compare that to the thing in the White House right now. Compare it to the thing in the White House who says to you every day, telling you every day, that if you're weak, if you're downtrodden, if you're lazy, if you're a bum, if you're a non-citizen, step right up, he'll take care of you. Doesn't matter if you give anything to the country, because to him there is no country. He's a man basically without a country. So he tells everyone from around the world, come in and step on us, and we'll give you everything you want for nothing. Look at the difference between one and the other. Well, that's, again, one man's opinion. That's how I see it. And so, if JFK Jr. were alive today, not the junior part, he was lost in a mysterious airplane accident, by the way. And strangely enough, now that I think about it, he was guaranteed to have that Senate seat in New York that Hillary got when she moved in like a carpetbagger to Chappaqua. Do you remember that? Anyone remember that little story? Let's think about that. JFK Jr. was the golden boy. He was going to inherit that guaranteed liberal seat in New York State that Moynihan had operated for years. Very liberal seat. JFK Jr. was handpicked to fill that seat. He would have been president probably if he had done that. And he disappeared over the Long Island Sound in a very mysterious small plane incident. And into the void, there came Darth Vaderette. Darth Vaderette flew in on a carpet bag and became senator from New York State. And now she's running for the presidency in 2016. Just saying that very, very odd airplane crash. Remember that one? Anyone remember that? All the geniuses in the media out there who think you're so smart. Anyone put two and two together ever? No, I'm not saying. I'm just asking. I'm just asking about it. That's Palestinian stabs 80-year-old Jewish woman, others in latest attack. Well, it's the religion of pieces, you know. And as you well know, this is a good sign of what the Palestinians would do if Obama and Kerry were able to give them half of Israel. They wouldn't just stab the Jews. They would gas them, burn them, destroy them, throw them in the ocean. But keep supporting the PLO and the Palestinian cause. Go ahead. Palestinian stabs an 80-year-old Jewish woman. Probably survived the Holocaust, and she got stabbed in her own homeland. Great. But go. Keep going. Keep going, you leftists. One day the knife will come to you. And who will you blame? Unbelievable. An 80-year-old woman they had to stab. Palestinian stab 80-year-old woman and others in two attacks. Isn't that very brave of them? Isn't that very brave of them? 80-year-old woman in the back in a street in Rishon LeZion near Tel Aviv. And then stabbed a 70-year-old man in the chest before running down the street and carrying out another attack. 19-year-old from the Spank City of Hebron. Well, I'll tell you the truth. There's only one solution to this, and you know the Israelis are not capable of it, given the hatred of the world for Israel and the Jews. But there's only one solution to this problem, and it's a solution that you well know will never be enacted. And so the Jews may as well pack up their little valises and get ready to leave. Because if you have one side of the population stabbing, killing, burning, with the backing of the world, and the other side is afraid to fight back, we know how this ends. At the same time, Obama gives the number one terrorist state on the globe, Iran, a pathway to nuclear weapons, and they're still chanting death to America. We know how that ends. And at the same time, the genius in the White House goes on Saturday Night Live and makes a fool of himself and a mockery of the presidency. And at the same time, the most corrupt woman in American political history is zooming up in the polls because of a little help from her friends in the media who cover up all of her scandals. And at the same time, our borders are being overrun by third worlders who will never assimilate, but they want us to accommodate. And at the same time, well, you get the picture. You get the picture. You get the picture. The big lie goes on. Let's see. Vatican arrests two on suspicion of leaking documents. Now, that's an interesting question. It sounds like The Godfather. What is the Vatican trying to hide by keeping so many secrets from the people? Well, another open religion. Yeah, Religion Incorporated. Another wonderful religion run by a benign pope. A political pope at that. Now, here's an even better story. Bill Gates, multi-billionaire, says that capitalism cannot save us from climate change. He says we need socialism. Why is it the world's most greedy, the greediest people on the planet, insist on imposing socialism on the rest of the world? Why? Huh? Here's another headline. Pope heading to Mexico to address violence and immigration. 8-day visit. The peripatetic pope. Look it up. It's an actual word. I learned it in high school. The peripatetic pope. Another one who can't sit still. Another meddler that has to travel around the world to bust down borders. Why is the pope trying to erase borders all over the world? What is behind the pope's continued meddling in immigration issues on America's border? Why is he stimulating and steaming up the people to come crashing into our home? There are other stories. New Obama executive order will ban government from asking criminal history on job applications. That's good. Flood America with illegal aliens and then flood businesses with criminals. That makes good sense. Conflict of interest. Bill Clinton is on the board of the Commission on Presidential Debates. It doesn't get any better. And over the weekend, I received a review from ChristianMoney.com, and the headline read, "Will Blockbuster Government Zero See Michael Savage Banned from the Vatican?" It kind of caught me by surprise. I thought it was another repeat of 2009 when I woke up on the Drudge Report. I read, Talker Michael Savage banned from Britain. So I said, what do you mean, I'm banned from the Vatican? I didn't even apply to go to the Vatican. I never intended to go to the Vatican. I'd be afraid to go to the Vatican. It looks like catacombs to me. I did actually go to the Vatican once. Well, now that I think about it, it's a great review by James L. Parrish. I linked it up on michaelsavage.com, and I put it on my Facebook site. And he talks about the Vatican, and he said, I won't be able to go there. And he's a religious guy. Well, the fact of the matter is I did go there. Way back in 1964, I did my big trip to Europe with my 20-year-old friends, mainly to look for girls in Europe who we thought were, let us say, a little freer than American girls. I mean, that's all we went. We didn't go for the culture. I mean, let's be real. I remember being 20. We went there for the culture, the museum. Well, we went to the museums, but mainly we went to the museums to look for smarter girls. That's all. But it was all about girls. That's all it was when you're 20. So we go, 22. So we go to the Vatican, and I thought it was this holy pilgrimage I was going to do. And I go to the Vatican. I put on a fresh outfit, suit, tie, and I start climbing the stairs inside the Vatican. And I get to the roof, panting and wheezing, and there's a Coca-Cola stand on the roof of the Vatican. And I remember noting it in my journal, like, what? How could they permit a Coca-Cola stand on the roof of the Vatican? Well, okay, it's a business. Like everything else on earth, it's a business. Follow the money. I mean, they got to make a buck to keep all those people in uniforms and keep the people well-fed and drinking good wine. So that was the end of that. I mean, that punctured the balloon. But I really don't want to go to the Vatican. I have no application to attend the Vatican for whatever reason. I don't know why the man would say that I won't. I'd be banned from the Vatican like I'm banned from Britain. Here's another headline. In Sweden, you hear this? What is Sweden anymore? Sweden's nothing. Sex change for children. Sweden has disappeared because they've given up their culture, their language, and their borders. Did you know that? And there is no right wing in Sweden. Their own government turned on their own conservatives who could have saved Sweden, the same way the German government has turned on the patriots and the nationalists in Germany who are not Nazis, who could save Germany from the onslaught of Syrians that Merkel the Nazi is bringing into our country. That's right. Why do I use the word Merkel the Nazi? What is a Nazi? National Socialist. You tell me what Merkel is if not a Nazi. Who gives her the authority to destroy Germany's borders, language, and culture when the majority of Germans don't want it to happen? And I mean even liberal Germans don't want all those Muslim men brought into Germany. Why is she doing it? Because she is a Nazi, a National Socialist. I didn't say that she's going to put people into ovens, did I? But I did say something rather controversial, and I think the inversion is quite obvious to anyone who studies this and can think clearly. But I would tell you this. We know that Hitler was an all-around monster, given. Okay, given. He imposed his Germanic Nazi views upon surrounding nations by invading them, right? So what do you call a so-called leader like Merkel, for that matter, Obama, who invades his own country with foreigners who do not speak the language, do not respect the borders, and do not respect the culture? Is that not an inversion of Hitlerism? Tell me. I said it. I believe it. I believe every word I said makes sense. Okay, fascist Nazi invades other country to impose their will on others. Tell me what you would call a leader who invades his own nation against the will of the people. Tell me what that is. Now let's go back to the other story I raised today, which is shocking. How is it that a guy like Bill Gates, who has all that money, calls for socialism? The same way that Mark Zuckerberg, for whom there is not enough money in the world, wants to break America's borders over his little stinking, smelly knee. Why is that? Because greed is an illness. You know, when the Aztecs were overrun by Spanish conquistadors, they were overrun for one reason. They were overrun for gold. The Spanish, the Portuguese, in their heyday, were monsters. They did things to the natives in those countries that are beyond your imagination, and I've studied this in great detail. But what were the Spanish doing in South America and Central America, especially Central America? They were searching for gold. And after raping and pillaging and murdering their way through Central America and stealing all the gold they could from the Aztecs noted in their lore that the Europeans, meaning the Spanish, have a disease called gold fever. And they said it's a disease for which there is no cure. My friends of the Savage Nation, I would argue with you today that the billionaire class, who are now flooding America with illegal aliens have a fever equal to that of the Spanish who conquered the Central Americans, namely the Aztecs. Did anyone buy my book over the weekend? Am I allowed to ask? Raise your hand if you went to the bookstore and bought Government Zero, because a lot of people are buying it, and I don't know where. And here's what's going to happen. You know, we in radio have to promote our own books, especially me, because I'm banned on all shows, except, you know, one or two shows. I'll be on Alex Jones tomorrow. He's one of the few. Laura Ingraham, one of the few. Newsmax, one of the few. But by and large, I'm banned in the media. You know that. I'm blacklisted officially. We know that that's true because the very, very fair-minded people at Fox News have banned me for a number of reasons. I'm not going to complain about it, whatever. You know, there are books that take off on their own volition after a while, and they start to sell like crazy. I don't know how that happens. How is it possible that a book that is good, and mine is really good, eventually reaches a critical mass where people talk about it with their friends and it starts to sell itself? That is what I want to see happen, because I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'll read some good pieces from it. If you bought it and you found a good sentence that you want to read on the air, go ahead, make my day. But really, I don't want to talk about this every day. It's not all negative. Here's a story. A teen prodigy who flies planes and works for NASA. He's 17 years old. You hear this? He has two college degrees. He's too young to vote. Well, attention, Obama. He's too young to vote. He's a pilot. He's too young to drive a car alone. He's 17 years old. He's from San Gabriel, California. Graduated from community college at age 11. 4 years later, he had a bachelor's in math from the UCLA, a real school. And now he's working for a master's in cybersecurity through Brandeis University. He helps NASA develop surveillance technology for airplanes and drones. Guy is some kid, right? Published his second book. And let's see, he plans to have his pilot's license by year's end. He has a trove of trophies from martial arts tournaments. What a kid. He's like Superboy. Now, how did he get this way? His name is Moshe Kai Kavalin. Now, Moshe is a Jewish name. But he's, I don't know. I mean, Moshe is definitely, it's not a Brazil. Okay, his mother's from Taiwan and his father's from Brazil. But Moshe is a Jewish name. I don't know where this came from. He says he's more ordinary than people think, but he credits his parents for pushing him, in plain English. You hear? They didn't send him out for Halloween to get candy corn. I guarantee they didn't get him a stupid costume for Halloween. He credits his parents for years of focused instruction, balanced by the freedom to pick his after-school activities. I don't know. Maybe he's just smart. But he's got all these martial arts statues in his house. Obviously, he speaks Chinese fluently. He's got all these signs in China, Chinese over him. But he was always smart. Come on. At 4 months, he pointed to a jet in the sky and said the Chinese word for airplane. Okay? That was his first word. You hear that? That was his first word. Let's see. Kavalin hit the limits of his homeschooling after studying trigonometry at age 7. You hear this? Trigonometry at age 7. And then his mother started driving him to community college. Can you believe this kid? That's amazing. 17 years old, so there's a hope. And you know, it's tied to a bigger story. And the biggest story is this. They say, liberal parents, beware of your millennials. They're very conservative. Did you know there's a trend in America of conservative children that are growing up in this country? They have turned on their parents' hippiedom. They have turned on their parents' drug, sex, and rock and roll attitudes. If this country can survive the corrupt political class, perhaps we will be saved by this generation that's growing up that loves America. And I don't know, it's like a tooth and nail thing. We have how many months left of the regime right now? Look at what he's doing. Goes on Saturday Night Live, Obama, and makes a mockery of himself and of the presidency. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. A little story that should make all of your multicultural people quite happy. A group of middle-aged whites in the U.S. is dying at a startling rate. So you got what you wanted. a large segment of white middle-aged Americans has suffered a startling rise in its death rate, reversing decades of progress. The mortality rate for white men, everyone share now, and white women between the ages of 45 and 54 with less than a college education increased by 0.5% per year between 1999 and 2013. Let's hear it for the multiculturalists who've targeted the white people. They say most likely because of problems with legal and illegal drugs, alcohol, and suicide, according to a study released in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Now, before 1999, death rates for that group were dropping at an average of 2% a year. So why is it suddenly rising? Well, they say drugs, alcohol, and suicide are clearly the proximate cause, said Angus Deaton, the 2015 Nobel laureate in economics who co-authored the paper with his wife. 500,000 people are dead who should not be dead, he added, about 40 times the Ebola stats. You're getting up there with HIV/AIDS. It's an interesting statistic. So why is it that middle-aged, lower, lesser-educated whites are committing suicide with drugs, alcohol, and straight-out killing themselves? You would think with the nanny state it would go down, the death rate. But no, it's gone up. As a matter of fact, rates for U.S. blacks and Hispanics have been declining, meaning death rates, for decades. Interesting. Well, uneducated whites seem to be targeted for, well, something that's not good. Isn't that interesting? Well, we can't go into that. We're not intelligent enough to discuss this amongst ourselves. We need NPR to analyze it for us with some Vivaldi music in the background to show you how smart they are. Meanwhile, the United Nations is planning a court for climate justice while the Antarctic is gaining ice. And meanwhile, the top French meteorologist who questioned global warming has been fired. Sieg Heil, my friends. Meanwhile, in Germany, the Nazi parties are rising because of her. The neo-Nazis are rising, which is the nightmare scenario. By the way, this is exactly how Hitler came to power. A weak government, and there was a reaction to the weak government, and now we're seeing a reaction to the crazy weak government. Neo-Nazis terrorize asylum seekers with firebombs and chilling attack in German town. Now, why are the mobs of neo-Nazis going on an orgy of violence in Germany against asylum seekers? Well, for one, they're Nazis. But two, it's because their government is attacking their own nation. It's reminiscent of the dark days of the early days of the Third Reich. And the fact of the matter is, it's Angela Merkel's open-door policy to invaders that is causing this reaction amongst the neo-Nazis. They want their country. They do not want their country taken away from them. Am I justifying what they're doing? Absolutely not. I'm opposed to violence, but to me, invading your own nation is a form of violence. Merkel is committing violence upon her borders, language, and culture in the same manner that Obama, the sneak thief, is causing violence on America's national identity.